Hello, class. Good to see each of you again through the technology of the internet. And I trust that you enjoyed the first class and got something out of it. We're going to continue in the same vein on the spirit of honor, but today we're going to be focusing on life sources and what a life source is based on what Bishop Tudor Bismarck talks about in his book, The Spirit of Honor. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer and get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, Lord God. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for each and every student who's online listening to this class, Lord God. Whatever state, whatever country they're in, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that there's no distance in the spirit, that they'll get everything they need and understand and have a better understanding of what the spirit of honor is, how to walk in the spirit of honor, and how not to walk in dishonor, Lord God, so that the blessings of God can profusely abound in their lives. And again, as always, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up, for if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leaning and relying totally upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I stated, we're going to talk about today on the subject of life sources. And let me just start off by giving you a definition of what a life source is. A life source is a person that is a giver or an originator of life, a releaser of life. In direct reference to this work, a life source would be like a physical father, a father who nurtures his children as they grow up. He's given them life, even though he didn't give birth to them. But once they're born, he constantly, through being a father, given precise and good direction, he's nurturing his children. A mother who's also a giver of life. A spiritual father is also a life source. Amen? Let me move on. Because they give spiritual life. Also, all of your fivefold ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those people who give life, who nurtures life. These are life sources. Amen. So you'll definitely see that in one of your quiz questions. The author says that it is required by God that we honor every life source, no matter what life source that is. And I could go into more detail about life sources. Anybody who even, you know, political leaders and people who help to form government, all of that can be under the umbrella of a life source. But what we want to key in on is spiritual life sources, apostolic life sources. One of the things I stated last week, and I didn't give it a whole enough justice, was I talked about, as an apostle, Dr. Thompson has a heaven to earth connection, where he's going and hearing from God and getting God's direction from heaven, and he's bringing that direction down to earth or to us. So as he hears, as an apostle and as a prophet, he's saying what thus said the Lord, and he's given us life. That life is changing our daily lives and is making us better Christians, better people, serving God. And so it is required by God that we honor every life source. And what I want to do is point on the chief or the key life source, which was Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example of a life source. He is also an apostolic source because he is the chief apostle. He is also the principal life source because he gave life. And he has spoken life, and he is life. He is the possessor of life, the Zoe, or the God kind of life. God is life and has life. God has given life legitimately to all those who are eligible to be carriers or custodians of life. And as I stated, Jesus, he is the principal or the chief life source. They possess what is known as the God factor of reproduction. A life source, then, is any person that possesses the ability to produce fruit offspring, children, physically and spiritually. Now listen up. This is a key point here. Anytime a life source is violated, or abused, or misused, or dishonored, anytime a life source is violated, God will withdraw his blessing at any time and on any level. Anytime a life source is violated by dishonoring that life source, God, he withdraws his blessing, because God sent them in your life to be a blessing to you. And when you dishonor, disrespect, and hold in low esteem those gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ to be a blessing to you, when you put them on the same level as yourself and don't receive from them as you should, you know, God will, you have violated that principle and by violating it, you're violating that life source, and God withdraws his blessings. As I stated, Jesus was a life source and is a life source. I'm going to just read a few scriptures that testify of Jesus being a life source. In John 1 and 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In 1 John 5 and 12, the A part, it says, "He that had the Son had life." So when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you receive his life. You know, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." You have taken on the very life and the very nature of God. So he has put his life on the inside of you, or his spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another key scripture is John 6:63. It says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth it," or the spirit that maketh alive. "The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus being that principal life source. Amen. One of the things I want to continue to point out, and I didn't state this last week when I was giving you what I was talking about at the very beginning, those housekeeping items. Myself, I'm a repeater. I'll repeat some of the same phrases over and over. I got it, honestly, my dad, who was in the military, he was a drill sergeant. So he would drill certain things into myself and to my two younger brothers. And even though there's 9 years difference between me and my next older brother, I can start a statement that my dad stated when I was young. And he and my youngest brother could finish it, even though there's almost 10 years difference between us, because he kept repeating to us the same thing over and over, and it became a part of our lives. You know, so if you see me repeating things, that's only because that's the way I was brought up. Amen. So let's move on here again. And I stated that to state this: the greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. We talked about that last week. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. So anytime you're sowing, you want to see your seed sowing into the anointing. You want to see that seed as an honor seed that's going to produce fruit into your life. Amen. All right, let's move on. Let me just share a little spiritual nugget. And I have in my outline that this happened yesterday, but these notes are probably 6 or 7 years old. But one thing about spiritual principles, they never die. They always are fresh. Amen. One of the things that the apostle had shared with us years ago, probably around 2016 or better, but he said, you know, that any time that he's in the service, even if the service is over, there's no Sunday service or Tuesday night service, but if he's still in the sanctuary, in honor to him, you want to stay there, because he may not necessarily be finished ministering. He might have, the Lord may want to say something else through him. When you get up after a service and just walk out of the service because the benediction has been done and it says you're dismissed, and the apostle is still in the sanctuary, the main sanctuary, or on the stage, which is in the main sanctuary, you want to stay there in honor of him because God may want to use him. I've seen times when after everybody leaves, all of a sudden he'll get back up and start sharing something, some nuggets that, you know, 65% of the congregation will never hear because they left too early. This past Sunday, I was talking with a good friend of mine, and he said, well, said, Reverend Calhoun, I'm going to see you. I said, well, I'm not going to leave right now because Apostle is still on stage. And it dawned on me, oh, yeah, yeah, right, okay, I got that, you know. That's honor. And it's dishonor when you just get up and leave because, you know, you feel like you've done your duty for the Sunday. No, God may want to speak to him in various ways. So that's a really good thing that we should always practice. Amen. All right, let me move on. Honor is a very important aspect. Now, this is what Bishop Tudor Bismarck said in his book. He says, honor is a very important aspect of the human existence, but even more so for the Christians or those who are in the body of Christ. He says, I find in the body of Christ corporately a tremendous lack of teaching on the subject of honor. And that's why we have this class, so that we can make up that void of that lack of teaching. He says, this results in there being a tremendous amount of dishonor, a misunderstanding and dishonor shown towards life sources in the body of Christ. Dishonor, listen to this, dishonor is an attack on God's sovereign existence. And let me just share something else that you'll probably see again. All life comes from God, who is life. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. I'm going to read that again. All life comes from God because he is life, okay? And when people blatantly, in other words, just because I want to, I just don't care, or I'm ignorant of this fact, dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, your parents, your grandparents, your boss, anybody who speaks life into your life. When you blatantly dishonor a life source, it says that it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. And the whole purpose of this class is to get people the knowledge and the understanding. Like I said, one of the things I'm endeavoring to do is to show you what honor is and what honor is not, or what dishonor is. So we could begin to reverse the negative consequences of what dishonor will bring in your life. And at the same time now begin to promote or give birth to walking in honor, so the blessings that honor brings can begin to profusely abound in your life. Amen. And that's so very important. All right. What I want to do now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verse 53. And I got my Bible here. I just pulled it off my little side table. And I want to read what happened when Jesus came into his own company and how they saw him too familiar. And because of that, God couldn't do what he wanted to do through Jesus. So I'm giving you a few minutes, a few seconds to get to it. Matthew 13 and verse 53. I'm going to begin reading. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he came, and when he was coming to his own country or to his own people, he taught them in the synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they marveled at the wisdom that he had and the mighty works that he did. And then they said something in verse 55. It says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence did had this man all these things? In other words, how did he attain all this wisdom? We know his family. We know his brothers. I probably dated his sisters. And I know his mom. You know, how did he get this way? You know, but then it says something else. It says in verse 55, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. In other words, you know, because you know my pedigree, or you know my family, and you saw me as a kid growing up, you don't understand that you know the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, I'm speaking not as a man, but a man who's full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, and then it says something else. It says in verse 58, and he did not many mighty works. He did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. One translation says their sore unbelief, because of the fact that Jesus became too familiar to them. And it's not that Jesus became familiar. They allowed him to be too familiar. They were looking at Jesus as a boy, Jesus as a man, instead of Jesus as the Son of God. And they didn't submit and they didn't honor what was coming out of his mouth, simply because of the fact that, you know, they saw him as a regular person and not, you know, when the anointing of God comes upon an apostle or a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, the Bible says that they are literally turned into another man, because they are full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so it's so very important that we not let our pastor, definitely not our apostle, or our prophets or evangelists, you know, Apostle Thompson, never let them become too familiar with you, or you become too familiar with them, to where you're thinking, well, I've grown and I'm close. No, you're never going to be on the same level. You know, you always want to honor. And that's so very important, because I'm just want to read a little bit more here. It says, never let your man of God become too familiar, common, or regular to you. They are sent by God to bring the blessings of God into your life. You know, whenever you try to put yourself on the same level as the man of God, your life source in your life, by saying that that's just brother so-and-so. We grew up together. We went to school together. You know, we got in trouble together, you know, or I know his family. I know where he's from. You have just sown a seed of dishonor. This is something else that you want to get down. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits. The word inhibits means it short circuits, it restrains, it blocks the supernatural, the blessing from flowing down into your life. Read that again. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits, short circuits, restrains, and blocks the supernatural, the blessings from flowing down into your life. Remember, I stated last week that the anointing always flowing down. I used the illustration of Aaron, who was the high priest, and how the Bible talks about how the oil flowing down from Aaron's head down to his beard, down on his skirt, all the way down to his feet. And then I said that if you align yourself properly by understanding ranks, levels, position, protocol, you know, and you're in the right position, you're going to get whatever awe or whatever anointing you need to fulfill your life and ministry, you know. But too many people get out of position. They, instead of sitting and growing and sitting at the feet of the apostle, they want to go out and you know, and start their own ministry too early, or even if they start at the right time, they feel like they don't need any more. You know, there's always more that you can get from God. And you always want to stay in a position where you're teachable and where you learn how to, there's a word called Y-I-E-L-D, yield. Always be in a yielded position. When you yield properly and you position yourself and align yourself properly, that anointing that's on your man of God will flow into your life and will elevate you to another level. That's what honor will do. But dishonor will disconnect you from that anointing. Dishonor will tell you you can do it on your own. We just had a hurricane came through here, and there was a large branch that broke off a tree in the corner of my property that was laying in my backyard. And you know, when it initially broke, those leaves on that branch that broke was just as vibrant as the leaves on the tree that it didn't break off of. But as the days went by, because that branch was no longer connected to the sap that's in the vine of that tree or the main trunk of that tree, those leaves begin to wither and die. Yesterday, I raked up some gray leaves because they picked up the branches, but they left some twigs. All of those leaves were brown and dead within a week. Why? Because they disconnected. One of the things you never want to do is to disconnect from your life source. Disconnect from your man of God. Disconnect from the very substance, the very thing that God sent to be a blessing to you. You don't want to disconnect from that. Amen? All right, let me move on. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah, and the Christ anointed manifest itself. It won't manifest itself in force where dishonor is sown. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah, the Christ anointing doesn't manifest itself in force when dishonor is displayed. Another key point. That's because, and we already talked about this, but like I said, I'm a repeater, so I'm not apologizing for it. That's because the people dishonored the prophetic and the apostolic gift. When Jesus said a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, he was literally saying that familiarity in many instances breeds dishonor and discontent. You hear that? Familiarity in many instances breeds dishonor and discontent. Never let your man of God become too familiar with you because he's on a different level. One of the things I've learned because my dad was in the military and I had an opportunity to go to a few military bases, and even after he had gotten out, he would go back to visit some of his military friends. I noticed that there was what is known as enlisted men, and there were officers. Officers being captains, majors, generals, brigadier generals, lieutenant generals, you know, those are officers. And then you had, you know, corporals and privates and people who were enlisted men. There were separate commissaries or places where they could buy commodities or grocery stores for the enlisted men and for those who were officers. There was a separate pool for those who were enlisted men. And, you know, remember I talked about ranks and levels, you know, and the protocol. And I stated that we're not all on the same level. And in the military, when a commanding officer or somebody with a higher rank than you stop and you salute them. You know, if a captain and you're a private, he's walking, you pull over to the side and you salute him. That's showing honor because of the position and the rank that he has. But a lot of people in spiritual things, as far as a pastor or a prophet or evangelist, you know, and you know, God forbid, an apostle, don't show proper honor. So how do you expect to get the blessing? You know, because even in the natural, when you follow protocol and you follow orders and follow the code of conduct, you can't help but be promoted in military ranks when you follow the code of conduct and the book and do everything by the letter of what they state. It's no different with the things of God. When you follow the proper protocol, the proper order, and submit to the ranks, the levels, and the positions that God has in the body of Christ, and recognize that they have been sent to you to be a gift. I really can't understress that enough, because I see a lot of disrespect, and most of the time it's because people either haven't been trained or they're just ignorant of it. You know, ignorant mean I just don't know. Or they haven't seen it. And one of the things I stated last week, certain things need to be taught, but some things really just have to be caught. Amen. So let me move on, because I could stay there for a while. I'm going to give you an illustration that took place in the Bible. Elijah, the prophet, Elijah was sent to be a deliverer for the widow woman. Remember the widow woman who didn't have any more food, and she was going to make a cake for her and her son, and they were going to die? The widow woman, but she had to first honor Elijah by making him a little cake first before she could receive her deliverance, where the oil stayed and kept flowing. Because after she made the cake for him, she told her to have her son to go and get as many vessels, borrow out a few. And the cur of oil, to pour the oil into the vessels that was borrowed. And if the bar brought 10 vessels, the cur of oil kept pouring into until every vessel was full. And she said, sell some of the oil and you and your son live off the rest. That was a deliverance. But she had to first honor her man of God with what little substance she had left. By doing that, the blessing of God sustained her and her son for years. Amen? All right. So let's move on. When a man of God is operating under the anointing, and I think I said this earlier, being a repeater, he literally is turned into another man. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 and verses 5 through 6. Because of the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it. But you can see how, remember last week we talked about Samuel and his servant and how they brought a gift. I'm saying Samuel, but I really mean Saul. They brought a gift to Samuel. And because of that gift and because of the instruction Samuel gave to Saul, after it was all said and done, the Bible talks about how Saul was turned into another man. Amen? All right, let me move on. All right. Anytime a life source is violated, God will withdraw his blessing at any time and on any level. I know that was stated earlier, but I also want to point out that a life source is anyone God has sent into your life, who gives and nourishes life, who is an originator of life, physical or spiritual, a giver or a releaser of God's life. Because God is life, and they that nourish God, and they that are nourishing God's government, which brings life, they are life sources and are deserving of honor. That's so very important. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, when you submit to and obey a life source, you cannot have, not but have, an abundant life. A life source can be, as I said, your natural parents, can be elders in your church, your pastor, your spiritual father, the fivefold ministry gifts, especially the apostolic and prophetic gifts. And I stated the elderly in age in your family, our church and community. You know, because of their wisdom and their years, there's things we can learn from our elders by submitting to them, listening to them, and letting them import things into us. So the mistakes they might have made in life, you don't have to make those mistakes because they have imparted some wisdom to you. You know, when they pray over you, their prayers are seasoned with their age and their wisdom. You know, and those things we need, especially when you want to go forth on the journey of what God's called you to do, because God will place people in your life for a specific reason so that you can get the nourishment, the direction, the guidance that you need in order to carry the vision or the ministry that God has called you to. So don't neglect or by all means don't dishonor those life sources God has placed in your life. Okay, we already read Matthew 13, 54 to 58, so I won't read it again. But one of the things I will say, and it said that in verse 57, it says, and they were offended in him. They were offended when Jesus says that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his, you know, in his own kin. So when a person becomes offended, this is what the Lord showed me. He says, when you become offended, you turn off or you off in the process of blessing God had for you through that apostolic source or that life source he has sent to bless you. When you become offended, the word offended can mean upset, disturbed, you get rubbed the wrong way, some of these terminologies people use. But when you become offended, you off in, you off the word offense, you got, you know, offend, you off in the process of blessing God had through you, through that life source or that apostolic source that he sent to be a blessing to you. So you never want to be offended. One of the things I always tell people is never let the sun go down on your wrath. You might get upset about something, but you need to get it straight before the sun go down. That's a scripture, you know. Because what happens is, and we're going to deal with some of these other aspects, pride, arrogance, haughtiness, those things, some of those, not fruit, but some of those works of the flesh start to creep in on you. And before you know it, it's hard to now to turn the other way. I know people who probably want to come back and want to repent and get back. But because of pride, because of arrogance, and because once that seed of offense get in, it brings in all kind of other stuff. If you don't deal with it, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And when one of them things get in there, it always brings some of his cousins and some of his nephews and some of his cohorts with it. And before you know it, you got all this animosity, all of this tension built up on the inside of you. I'm looking at my time because I don't want to overstep my time. But you don't want offense to set in. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in more extent is offense and offense and show you in the areas where Saul became offended, you know, where several people in the Bible became offended. And though God used them minorly, because of offense, they're not only did their blessing get cut off, but their children and their children's blessings got cut off. You know, honor is a serious matter. And it's one that we need to take a stronger and a more in-depth look at. And that's what we're doing. It goes deeper than what people think it goes. When you dishonor the person God sent to you, you know, your ministry will never flourish. Your life will never flourish, not like it could have, because you've now just disrespected, dishonored, and pushed over to the side someone God sent to be a blessing to you, who has the anointing And just by speaking words over your ministry, over your life, over your family, because of their connection with God, could have brought tremendous blessing to you. Now it becomes a curse. Now it becomes, remember I said last week how the curse causeless shall not come? There's always a reason. And one of the things, in closing out, I want you to examine your heart. You know, we're still getting in just introductory stuff. We're going to get more into the meat of it. But I wanted to kind of set the stage, these first two classes, to give you some deep insight into, you know, what a life source is, not coming too familiar with your pastor, your man of God, but respecting him, honoring the ranks, the levels, and the positions, and recognizing that there's a reason for that. You know, when you honor your man of God, guess what? God will honor you. You know, honor breeds honor. So, you know, as I said, you know, the scripture we read earlier, you know, don't be deceived. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. You know, be not deceived. You know, if you sow seeds of corruption and injustice, you're going to reap that into your life. But if you sow honor seeds and sow righteous and just seeds, God will elevate you to another level. Because your gift will make room for you. Your honor seed by serving. You know, we're going to talk a lot about serving, how serving is so important. I'm down to about 18 seconds. But serving your man of God, serving your pastor, you know, waiting on him, you know, how all of that brings honor. Amen? All right. With since I'm pretty much just about done, let me just go over one or two key points that I think are very important. I stated that all life comes from God, who is life. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, and we said a life source is anybody who produces, who is an originator, who's a giver of life, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Because the very existence of God is predicated on authority, is predicated on a heaven to earth connection, is predicated on apostolic government, you know, and is set up with ranks, with positions, with levels, and codes of conduct. You don't want to violate a life source. Amen. And with that said, we're right at almost at 40 minutes. We're going to shut it down. Continue to, like I said, print your study questions, go over them. When we do have an exam, your exam will come directly from your study questions. I want to reiterate that again, because a lot of times people will text me and want an exam study sheet. You know, you every time I do the PDFs of the quiz questions, I'm giving you an exam study sheet. So go back and study all of these principles and all of these questions. You can't help but pass this class. And the bottom line is, one of the things I want to see more than anything else is that you receive from Apostles class by honoring him, sowing into him. As you sow into him, you can't help but be blessed by receiving more revelation. Remember I said that information, Alexis, stop. Information plus revelation equals impartation. Well, that all will be nullified if no seed is being sown, or you won't get nearly the amount of revelation. Amen. I will see you next week.